Hey, it's Benji Cole, son of Al Cole from CBS Radio, welcoming you to another edition of People of Distinction, the talk that gives an in-depth view of some of the most dynamic, intelligent, and successful people on the planet. Run to our website, peopleofdistinction.org, for more info, or you can email me directly at benji@alcoleenterprises.com. And on the line with us today, we have Elaine Thorpe. We'll be discussing her fantastic book, God Never Changes in the Land of the Living. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, BibleGateway.com, or if you guys want to get everything that Elaine has to offer, do yourself a favor and go directly to her personal site, ElaineMThorpe.com. And I will say, Elaine was brought to our network, People of Distinction, today by some of the best movers in the business, Good River Print and Media Publishing. So if you have a book that you'd like moved, move it through Good River. You can find them at goodriverprintandmedia.com. And guys, listen, it is an absolute pleasure to have Elaine here on the line with us today, because her book we're discussing, right there in the title, God Never Changes, you understand what we're going to be going into, or at least you have an idea. The book itself is comprised of 10 short stories. Now, of course, as it says there in the title, we know it's going to be revolving around some type of religious content or religious themes. But what's great about it is it takes those religious messages and it puts it in a contemporary vernacular. So it really modernizes the storylines, and it really modernizes the language and the themes and the messages that are being transposed. And I think that that is going to be so valuable for our modern day audience, our modern day ears, when we go, when we read this. And listen, she's the expert. She's written the book. She's done the research. She's going to be able to articulate all the nuances in her book much better than I ever could. So without further ado, let's bring her here with us. Elaine, first and foremost, thank you so much for being a guest with us today on People of Distinction. How are you?
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Benji. I'm just great.
Fantastic. Well, listen, we're very much looking forward to speaking with you. We're very much looking forward to the education that we're going to receive. And I know we have a lot to cover. So before we jump into the book, Elaine, let's hold off slightly. Tell our listening audience a little bit more about yourself.
Well, first and foremost, just to pick up where you left off, I am a Christian lady who loves the Lord. And I have written this book about him and for him, because he asked me to. But I was raised in Niagara Falls, New York, and I moved out to the Los Angeles area after college to work in the aerospace industry. And since then, my husband and I have resettled to a small farm in the Central Valley of California. And we are free-ranging chickens and tending a small vineyard, and basically just kicking back and enjoying our life. My stories are set in these three places where I've lived. I do that because I know the lay of the land, and I'm familiar with the people and the customs and the issues that concern them.
Fantastic. Well, Elaine, let's jump right in. God Never Changes in the Land of the Living. Tell us a little bit about your book.
Well, so the book is comprised, as you said, of 10 short stories, and it's about how God calls us, everyday people, to be his hands and feet to help others in this world. And we know that since the beginning of time that God never changes, right? But neither do we. We are his human creation. And it doesn't matter how many modern comforts we have, new technologies, education, we are still his children, and we are still as flawed and helpless as our biblical ancestors. Mm-hmm. We are wounded, and we struggle to live in truth, and we struggle to live in freedom within this imperfect world. And along the way, guess what? Just like them, we lie and we cheat and we mess up. Just like Adam and Abraham and Jonah and even the apostles Peter and Paul, right? But still, he calls us because he has an important job for each one of us to do. It's a unique assignment that only we can do. Maybe he sends us to help speak to someone with a different language, or that maybe we have lived in a similar circumstance to someone, or maybe we have the financial means to help, or maybe we're just a good leader, right? It's whatever he calls us to do. And he never calls us to do anything beyond our ability that we can't do with his help and his grace. But the central theme, Benji, is that no matter how far we have fallen, and no matter how dirty our own hands are, he reaches out and pulls us up from that dark place and back into the land of the living. And when we allow God to help us, oh, the miracles of faith that pour forth. That's my book in a nutshell.
Now let's go into inspiration. Now we know, as you've already stated, you are a Christian woman, right? So you follow God through and through. Your faith is embedded. Now, we know why you felt the particular interest to really comprise these narratives and put this together for yourself, but why didn't it end there? Why did you want to take the next step, actually put it out for the public to be able to partake in as well?
Well, to tell you the truth, that really wasn't my idea. I believe that I was called by God to write the book. You know, I didn't always have this zeal for God or the courage to talk about my faith in public. But one day, a colleague at work asked me, "Hey, Elaine, how do you stay so happy and so hopeful during this terrible, terrible time?" And I could see that he was struggling. But, you know, I just could not find the courage to say, "Oh, I have a tremendous faith in God, and I trust in him to sustain me in all ways." Instead, I can't believe it, I said, "You know, when I'm feeling down, I try to eat right and get more sleep." What? Did I really just say that? Well, I felt really bad, right? And I did not toss my friend that lifeline that he was needing. Afterwards, I tried to find him and make it right, but I never, ever spoke to him again. Because 2 weeks later, my friend ended his own life. Well, I was devastated because he had reached out to me and I let him down. Well, immediately after that, like the next day, I started to feel the tug of the Holy Spirit working in my heart, leading me to people and opportunities to learn and hone my courageous faith. I joined church ministry groups, you know, that dealt freely in the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. And I taught and I prayed and I assisted the lonely and the needy and the cut off and the disenfranchised with a newfound zeal. But finally, Benji, I had found my courageous faith. But I got to tell you, God did not leave it there. And he asked me to step out to this whole new level. And he asked me to expand my Christian ministry work to evangelization through the writing of this book. And it's a book about him and it's for him and how he uses us to be his light to others in this chaotic world.
That is beautiful, Elaine. Thank you. Thank you so much. What a powerful, powerful story and an amazing journey that you have embarked upon and now really putting forth for our listening audience and all of your readers that pick up your book to be able to partake in that as well. Guys, again, here in the line with Elaine Thorpe, we're discussing her fantastic book, God Never Changes in the Land of the Living, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, BibleGateway.com, or directly through her personal site, ElaineMThorpe.com. Now, Elaine, any advice that you may be able to give our listening audience? I know that this book is comprised of 10 short stories, all revolving around, again, religious themes and messages. So I'm sure each one of those stories have individual themes and messages that can be pulled and learned from within themselves. Now, since we have you here on the line, any words of wisdom, any tips that you offer within the book that you can articulate now to our listening audience?
Well, I would say an advice I would give to somebody who would like to write their own book or someone just, you know, having an idea, mm-hmm. that has something nagging at them in their heart for long years is, you know, write it down. Be persistent. Be patient. Write what it is that is in your heart and in your mind, because that is the truth that's been given to you. You know it intimately. It's your story in perfect truth. And these truths merely write themselves. And this is the gift of message that writers receive. You know, from where do we receive it? Well, maybe from our environment, maybe the spiritual realm, but definitely from the Holy Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. And I would say, be patient and be persistent about your writing project. You know, I've been wanting to write since I was a young girl, but I am now just able to get to it. And I read once that Ernest Hemingway, who wrote The Old Man and the Sea, it took him 15 years after he had read a news article of this poor Cuban fisherman who went too far out to sea and lost the great marlin, right, his pearl of great price. Mm-hmm. But Hemingway said that he believed the story had become even sweeter as it aged in his memory, like a good wine vintning in its wooden barrel. And I believe that this is true. Is I've had a story that's been, you know, vintning in my heart for 20 years. And I can't wait to bring it forth and let it have a life of its own, you know, independent of me. Benji, you know, I'm at a place in my life where I have summed up what I believe. And it's really quite simple. I believe in God. I believe in love. And I believe in free will. And I can't help but include these perspectives into my story.
Absolutely.
And it's a natural and honest thing for me.
Guys, listen, she said so much there. One of the biggest things that I took from it is, again, getting back to the idea of persistence. And that works well for any artist, but that works just as well for any individual, regardless of what your passion is. Persistence is always key. I remember reading something about Thomas Edison, and the quote I will butcher now, but it was something along the lines of, he went through about 1,000 light bulbs before he was able to invent the first one. And when he was asked about it, he remarked that, I just figured out 1,000 ways that it didn't work. And once he got to that one that did work, it all paid off. Persistence is key in anything. Patience is a virtue, but it truly is. It's not the easiest thing to come by, but once you start to understand it and you have that patience and you continue to couple that with persistence, listen, you're on the road to success. Now, Elaine, I'd love to give you the opportunity here. Now, we know that this book is, of course, again, revolving around religious themes. Right there in the title, we see God never changes, as human beings are known to do. When they start to do any research on your book and they see that word God, they'll instantly put your book in a box and they'll formulate assumptions based upon that. Now, I want to give you the opportunity to either A, dispel any narratives, or B, double down. In your opinion, is this a book that is specifically geared for religious readers? Or really anybody, regardless of religious background, will be able to pick this book up and be able to find the benefit?
Really, Benji, my book is intended for all people, for Christians who believe in Jesus Christ, and for those folks of other faiths or of no faith at all who may enjoy the stories at face value, and maybe who, by the hand of providence, might come to believe.
Elaine, as we start to tie up this fantastic interview, curiosity for myself, what would you say was a highlight for you in writing this book? Or if not a highlight, you know, maybe something that surprised you that you weren't expecting prior to embarking upon the journey?
Well, again, I've always felt that God assigned me to write this book as a work of evangelization. It's all about Him, really, and how He calls us to overcome ourselves and to be His face to others as He does His work in us. And I did have some hardships while I was writing. But I was obedient to this task that God was calling me to do. And I would like to tell you about this hardship because it's sort of the backstory of my book. So just a few years ago, my family was moving from Southern California to our farm in the Central Valley of California. We were moving ourselves, you know, making many round trips with our U-Haul and our trailer. And it's a nearly 600-mile round trip. And, you know, each time we went, we had to leave room in our truck for my infirmed mother-in-law and our old dog, Penny. And they traveled with us, and they had to be accommodated on each trip. And because our new house was still under construction, we had to sleep upstairs in our barn. And it was rough, really rough. During all the stress and the intensity of the move, wouldn't you know, God put it on my heart to write this book right then, while we were moving. And he was demanding. I would be so tired at the end of each day, you know, driving and packing and loading and unloading and caregiving. But I was compelled every night to sit up at the old table with the lantern and write after everyone else had gone to sleep. In the winter nights, you know, they were beautiful, but so, so cold. We had to wear our heavy coats and hats, even the bed. And I would be shivering at my writing table, you know, stamping my feet, blowing on my hands to keep them from freezing. But I have to say, the stories came easy. I felt that the Holy Spirit was upon me and encouraging me to persevere and refueling my energy and then inspiring the stories that I was to write. It was very clear to me at that point that God wanted this book, and I was simply obedient to that call, even though the timing was really inconvenient for me. But as Christians, we know that all things happen for good in God's time, not ours, right? So I would just say, you know, the goal for this book is not to make $1 million, but to get 1 million people to read it and find their way back to church and back to the Creator.
Elaine, there's so many fantastic messages to be found within this book. What is one thing that you're hoping that your readers take from this novel?
Well, Benji, I would say to be open and be ready to do the task that God needs you to do. You know, it might be something very big and complex, or it might be something little, something as simple as a wave or a smile or visiting a lonely neighbor. From the beginning of the world, we are always seeking God, our Creator, who is seeking us. And however flawed we are, when we allow Him to pull us from our darkness and back into the land of the living, when we allow Him to use us as His hands and feet and face to the world, we find Him in each other.
Guys, what more can be said? Listen, I know you are all listening in right now, and half of you are already at her Amazon page. You're already at her Barnes & Noble page. You've gone to BibleGateway.com. You even checked out her personal website, ElaineMThorpe.com, and you're purchasing the book as we speak. But for the rest of you, I'm going to re-impress it one last time. Here on the line with Elaine Thorpe, we just finished discussing her fantastic book, God Never Changes in the Land of the Living. Again, available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, BibleGateway.com, or her personal site, ElaineMThorpe.com. Such a great book with even better messages. Guys, let's grow. Let's develop. Let's educate ourselves. And it starts with this fantastic book. Elaine, this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you once again for being a guest with us today on People of Distinction.
Well, thank you very much, Benji. I appreciate it.